When is this taken? How did this help to get the
underfinanced
through the final days and out there?
That's right,
so
there's no way that my work is
going to
be
stopped. I believe that these disciples will be looking for the completed intensive overnight.
Hello, this is Frank Zappa. You should be listening constantly to CKLM.
That's it. CKLNFM 88.1 in Toronto. A few technical glitches as we start our way off, as far as I'm concerned. It's a good sign. We're back to normal. Hi, Bob.
Escape.
You know, I was thinking today, I was cycling along the road and...
Your kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were thinking today, Mike.
Cycling along the road and I was thinking sometimes when I don't see you when you're not here. It's, of course, only every other week. Sometimes it feels like weeks.
It does.
Does it feel like that to you?
Oh, yeah. I forget, how to get here and what your name is and what's the name of this show.
It's a common mistake.
As, for example, the last little promo. That was an addition. That was a theme addition. You know, we've had the call-outs been sent out for additions to enter themes for this show. But you notice the listener who made that. Mixed up Bob Marshall and Bob Dobbs, and we had International Collection, listen on Sunday at 10, and mixed up some stuff, Escape to Bob, so Praise Bob, so it was a mix-up of different things, and that's the effect of Bob, you know, it's confusing, it's complex, it's comprehensive,
mm-hmm.
And that promo is actually... In a backward way, prophetic. You know, it predicts the future being the past, and that was a past situation.
I noticed that.
So it's confusion coming down here on Wednesday.
You didn't win a genie tonight.
I did.
You did. I must have been on the John or something.
Well, you were on genie. Genie Becker. Yeah, Genie Becker. Right. What we have here is many substitutes for Bob. Right. Many substitutes for Bob went up there to get awards. Of course, Bob, when he gets them, will return them because it's beneath his pink hood to accept such pseudo-subgenius efforts as anything that's on mainstream TV. Right?
It reminded me of days gone by with the Academy Awards, everyone making their political statements with regards to the QP strike. And getting up to accept their awards, coming in their limousines, but saying, gosh, I sure hope those strikers reach their settlements. Yeah, some solidarity. All right. Do you have things to talk about, or are you opening up the line to questions tonight, Bob?
Questions later.
Okay.
595-1478.
Yeah, let's remind our listeners that we're in Studio B tonight, our luxurious downtown studios.
Whose tape recorder wasn't working, so we had to flip back thanks to Kent, who enabled the other ones to be broadcast.
Kent Perry, who's on at 2 o'clock. And want to remind you, so the line, the phone is 595-1478, not 595-1655 tonight. Why don't we talk about American politics? We do every other week. politics anyway.
No, I don't want to talk about American politics. No? Come on, man. You want to talk? You got something to say?
You do.
I just wonder if you had any comments
on... What the heck's in my ear, Mike? I mean, we got another channel?
Yeah, it's a little interference. But,
okay.
I wanted to know if you had any comments on the Tower dismissal and the rejection.
Well, I think Gary Hart's got a good chance to win the nomination in July, you know, and down in... Atlanta, was it, or is it? And I think he'll win the... Yeah, I think he'll win the presidency, and he'll beat Bush, you know, coming up in this fall. You know, somebody we know?
It's Wayne Morris.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, Wayne, he's going to have to wait a whole hour. I mean, I can't deal with some gifts now, right? Or maybe 20 minutes.
No, remember, we are whittling down. I'm trying to get it closer to half an hour, Bob.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, look, Mike, why can't I hear you clearly? Because the thing is on? Hey.
Can you not hear me at all?
Well, I can hear you. It's low, though.
Hello.
Low.
Test. 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
test.
Just a little off. Maybe it's this thing.
Turn that up a little. Is that better?
Oh, there's a volume.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous the way we're jacking off here, eh? We're not even getting any momentum. I see. All right, now, Mike, let's start over again. Yeah, Gary Hart's going to win in 1988, and nothing happens after that. He'll win the election. You talk about politics, I go into a time warp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gary Hart in 88. What are we, so you said Tower of Power?
Tower of
Power. The Golden Shower,
what happened,
maybe?
What happened to Tower of Power?
Well, basically, you see, the cabinet... is divided, right? It's always been a divided White House. We've been over this 1,000 times. Even Wayne Morris would know about this. You know, the Rockefellers run the domestic operation and the Bolsheviks run the Pentagon. So what they had to do is, Bush, being a Rockefeller guy, had to come in and sort of keep the Pentagon at bay. So how do they keep the Pentagon out of cabinet decision-making? Can you follow the logic? It's so beautiful. You know how they keep out of cabinet decision-making? They don't appoint a Secretary of Defense. They have a scuffle go for a month over John Tower. There's no Secretary of Defense. They made all the decisions over the past month while Tower was being decided and deliberated about, and the Secretary of Defense function did not participate in the cabinet decisions, and the Pentagon's left out. But that's where the Khomeini got mad. Khomeini, Bolshevik-controlled, got really angry about that and set up a threat of assassination waves against all leaders.
And I guess we've seen the first sign of that with a $28 million missile doing loop-de-loop off the coast of Florida crashing into the ocean.
Yeah, that's Bolshevik-controlled, yes.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, no Minister of Defense, and look what happens.
Yeah.
I know they're not ministers, but we can call them.
Yeah, see, the tower incident is obvious. I mean, obviously, he was set up to do that and to distract people, keep the Secretary of Defense away. But then what do? The Khomeini declares war. So you don't fool around with the Pentagon. Right? So there's lots of problems. As a matter of fact, in light of that, why don't I read my file right away? Because it relates to this.
It does relate.
Okay. But, Mike, I asked that noise to be taken off because I want this to be heard. This is sacred file material.
Read ahead.
I mean, even Dave Bernard has requested file material, right? Our Christmas party, Dave Bernard requested more files. Well, we got files. It's a little one here today, but it's file.
That's adorable. Read it.
Wasn't there a magazine called File?
Once.
Okay. The Funk-like Fuse magazine? Yeah, and all the rest of the Canadian ones?
Overrated.
Budget cuts?
Way overrated.
Do you know that there's no universities in the Maritimes now? They got cut. Didn't make the journal, though. Only organic steroids make the journal. All right. This is a file from, again, 1983. A lot of files, good files, important files, were created in 1983 at the Secret Council of 10 meetings when I was just a colleague, not chairman. And this is a file about what do we expect in the 90s. The file goes like this. Bob indicated in 1983 that as mankind moved more and more into outer space, which is part of the, sorry I said this, Aquarian Age, but that needed to be said at the Secret Council 10 in 1983. Anyways, moving into outer space was part of the Aquarian Age. I don't know, I must have been feeling rather insecure that day. Anyways, they were interested in what I had to say, and no demurs happened when I said the phrase Aquarian Age. But anyways, as man moves into outer space, Bob indicated that humanity, especially the subgeniuses and a few leftover pinks, will discover its home among the stars. You know, Hollywood sunset. software, American environment becomes a world environment. That's a parenthesis. That wasn't in the file. Humanity will discover its home among the stars and will think in a more global and a more universal manner.
Listen to me, man. I must have been drunk on STP that day.
Listen, this is so cliche, but I must report the files. But it does get better. Bob indicated, as this occurs, those little narrow viewpoints, those pink thinking styles, will have no place in the world of reality of some genius secret council of 10 controlled by Bob. This is in sharp contrast, what's going to happen, to the last century, where entities in pinks who might think globally or universally would have had no place in the world of that reality, no place in the 20th century or the 19th century, just sort of outcasts. You're destined to serve at CKLN and in obscurity, which turns out to be the best thing to do. I can't hear you, Mike, so you're talking to me? You're talking on the phone, okay. Just don't move. Read your lips, Mike. Read your lips. So anyways, these kind of people thought globally had no place in the 19th and 20th century. But Bob indicated that things indeed are changing. I mean, it looked like there wasn't going to be any change ever. But as a result of my actions, my homeopathic work here at CKLN, things are changing. And this is what's going to happen in the 90s. Bob indicated that this coming decade, the 90s, will see great intensities as the dark forces, the pink forces, experience their death throes, trying desperately to create a last stand on this plane. You know, the Custard's last stand, you know, the pink's last stand. They'll try desperately. But Bob indicated that in the mid part of the 90s, now this is important and relates to what I said about the Bolshevik control of the Middle East and the Khomeini. They're pink versions of media ecology and censorship. Bob indicated that in the mid part of the 1990s, there is considerable danger to subgeniuses as these polarized energies attempt to regain power. Now, how could they do that? How could they? You know, a fourth world condition in the old sense, not the electric meaning of fourth world, the old sense of fourth world, like less than third world. How can that third world, fourth world area be a threat to the first world and the second world, America and Russia, the Soviet Union? Well, Bob indicated the danger appeared to be that which comes out of the Middle East. Bob indicated that the disarming of America, the disarming of Russia, which is what we're seeing now as a result of my work here, is that which defuses their great dangers of the past, when people refuse to think globally, all right, but which invites a new danger from the future. So this disarming of America and Russia will lead. And Bob suggested, however, that this future is never fixed, and that this danger from the Middle East in the mid-1990s of this group that will see the weakness of Russia and America and reconsolidate the arms business, biological weaponry, you know, biological warfare, that kind of stuff will be focused as a pickoff slot there in the Middle East, because they'll see that they are stronger militarily than Russia and the United States. And this is the danger of disarmament. Not a danger between Russia and the States. It's a danger of the effect on the Middle East. So Bob said this danger, which is seen, may be altered by evolving pink and subgenius consciousness. Now look what I said. Evolving it through communication. The global Esperanto, the fourth world, the electric environment, homeopathically working at little stations like Chum and CBC, little stations like that, they will mold the world, with CKLN coming in at the end, taking all the credit because we were bigger, but tinier. But it'll be reverse world then, so it'll look like the opposite, right? It'll be the antimatter world. So through communication, we have a chance to evolve consciousness so that as time passes, opportunities will present themselves each day, each month, each year to alter the course of destiny, the chrome-plated megaphone of destiny, so that there can be an avoiding of things which presently are in movement. And so this movement, this file was said in 1983, and we can see the disarming. This has happened since 83, up the past year or two. That move is happening, but we see the anger coming out of the Middle East. So let that be a warning to pinks and subgeniuses in working our way, walking down the sidewalk of the 90s. Let's be watching for those dark allies where alleys.
1983, where was that file pulled from? Where was that file written, spoken?
Yeah, where did it happen? Well, yeah. The Secret Council of 10 meeting in Solar Government Headquarters, 22,000 miles above the equator.
Mm-hmm.
Little satellite. That's the particular satellite that Mr. Fleming warned us about in Moonraker. All right, that's the one that I was in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, remember the movie Moonraker? Yep. The guy sets up a private, independent, non-national satellite. Well, that's the secret government. That's the solar government. I know Wayne is very astute about the effects of the solar government. I know he studied that. Him and Doug Nicholson have been working on that ever since the concept entered their little heads via me a few months ago. All right, Mike, so we got people on the line. Is that why your lips been moving?
No people on the line yet.
We've just been setting it up real nice.
I think people are feel intimidated, actually, to call sometimes. And why should they call when you're on the air when they can call and talk to you afterwards? I think that's...
And a lot of them do, don't they? Yeah, why embarrass themselves? But there are some things out there who think they're equal to me, and they love to get on and talk to Bob.
Well, our operators are standing by. The number is 595-1478 if you'd like to call and rap with Bob.
Maybe Wayne has a question.
Wayne might have.
As a statement.
Wayne,
anything that...
You can come in and join Bob if you like.
Yeah, come on in as a headphone.
Wayne Morse is down here. This is a real treat. Wayne does a Thursday show.
Come on in, Wayne.
Wayne, well, you know why I'm here, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I got all the stuff there for you.
Great.
He's here to pick up the secret council documents.
That's right. And I'm already making my own, drawing my own conclusions about who actually did it.
As a result of tonight, or this file read?
No, just over a last period of time, you know, just building up things, you know, and I've come to the conclusion that I think it was Lady Bird that did it.
Lady Bird Johnson?
Yeah.
You mean she gave the initial signal, or...?
No, she actually committed it herself.
Oh, she shot it?
Yeah.
Well, Wayne, this is a facetious response, and you'll be sobered up when you read the document that you earned so justly.
Well, can we get back to this?
Yeah, we could just wait around. You're drunk, right? You can say you don't have to go to work tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah. Yes,
but you're drunk, right?
Yeah.
I can smell it.
What are the calls? Go ahead, Colin. Hello?
This is the... He's back. She's back.
Important call.
Hi.
No. Well, this person showed up 2 weeks ago, and it's this
Bob,
is their second.
Bob, I think there's a question for you.
How is the rent situation, Bob?
The rent situation or rent? The guy who does the murals on Queen Street. Rent or rent?
Rent.
I think it's rent.
Rent's going up. Even for extraterrestrials like yourself, pseudo-excess, rents going way up. Solar government, as you know, is finding it very hard to maintain facilities on Jupiter.
It's difficult. Supernova forces out of the system, so traveling east,
Yeah, go east. That's where Nova Scotia was.
Well, a scout ship happened to come ahead of us. 14
minutes ago, and said he liked your show, and he told the rest of his show, and, we're just gonna cruise the neighbor,
we'll be here for a while anyway, so. This is it. So, good reviews 2 weeks
ago, you told me. 2 weeks. It's a strange city, you got here. Rent. Rent's going up, no problem. Stick with Bob.
Where do you live?
I live, 122 Ellsworth. 122 Ellsworth. I gave it out. Hey, anybody can get me now.
Can I get an answer?
657-804-0.
Oh, good. Just a second. I've got something coming through. Just a second, please.
Okay.
Good, Mike.
This is exciting. We've got another caller on the line, actually. Oh, hold on.
RCMP Public Complaints Commission, bonjour.
I have a complaint about the conduct of a member of the RCMP. I understand your commission is an independent agency that can help me.
You
just like that person, you too can reach the RCMP Public Complaints Commission via our toll-free line. We are an independent review body created by the federal government to help you deal with complaints concerning members of the RCMP. To call the commission,
awesome,
simply dial 1-800-267-6637. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-267-6637.
Don't go. Just you're saying I got high ratings 2 weeks ago, and the gang joined that lone survey.
We do have other callers, Bob, but I realize he's calling from the department.
Come on back later. That was excellent work. Excellent dialogue.
Thanks, caller.
Next caller.
Exciting. That was. Let's go to my turn. Next caller. Observe that. Hi, CKLN. Go ahead. Yo.
Come on, baby, you're on.
Are you talking to me?
Oh, hi.
Oh, Mr. Whitney.
I can't hear you.
You're on the air.
You're on the air, baby.
I can't hear you.
Talk to us.
Well, turn the radio up. Maybe it's your... you mean the UFO zapped it off?
Hold on.
Yeah. And just stay there.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to know if you have any files on Pee Wee Herman, Frank Zappa, or Dr. Seuss, because you seem to know a lot about people, and I'd just like to know what you know about the doctor.
Yeah, well, I've got an interview I did with Pee Wee Herman disguised as Frank Zappa for $10. Come on down to the station on any Wednesday night, and you can have it. I've got lots of stuff, and actually I stayed while I was in L.A. I stayed with Pee Wee Herman's closest friends. You know, guys like A. West, who did the album for Zappa and Broadway the Hard Way, and also does the artwork for Pee Wee Herman. So A. West met A. East, as the UFO contact earlier phoned in and talked about the East. All right? You follow me?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we do have a lot of files here, and anything you can imagine I have, I do have. So come on down.
Do you do parties?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'd like to invite you to a very special party sometime, and you can tell us your files.
All right, well, you've got to call 657-8040, and of course my security will come earlier and check that out. You know, parties are dangerous for Bob.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Goodbye.
God bless you. Okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah, two really good calls. And, you know, if you have a question for Bob, this is the Church of the Subgenius. Our time is running out. We
Doesn't have to be a question.
No, it can be a statement. It can be a
press conference. Have a press conference right here on Bob.
It could be a song. It could be... a problem?
You know, I didn't explain, just before we get back to Wayne, what we did at the beginning. We have our simple promo for the Church of Subgenius. Then we have our complex promo, multi-layered. And so we played our multi-layered after the simple one, which we weren't going to play, but we had to because we had to switch back and forth. But then the third item was an audition. And, maybe I did talk about that. I just want to say that audition was fine work, and it was somebody called Paul Renwick. I don't know the person. Do you know the person?
No,
Paul Renwick. He submitted the audition. It is mixing up the international connection with the Bob Show, but I think that is prophetic.
An honest mistake.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Wayne, back to this Lady Bird problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she did have a role in it, but she didn't trigger it off.
Well, she has this obsession with interior decorating, and I think she had her sights set on the White House for some time now, for a number of years, even before JFK got into office. She had that place cased.
Well, society under our fourth world electric conditions is an art form, and therefore internal space is the external, and power, once being internal, has been externalized, but then re-internalized, so she would decorate it. So you're right, she was, as an interior decorator, wanted to design the American environment.
Exactly.
Impose her private view on a corporate, non-private situation. It's very hard to do.
She was very obsessive about it.
And she would kill to do it.
That's right, as history has just told us.
Well, I think that she found out that many other people wanted to do the same thing, and she just jumped aboard and supported it and agreed to cover it up. She's still alive? I'm not too sure. Say obsolete. You know, time goes by under electric conditions, 200 years every 12 months. I mean, we can hardly remember who she was. And but she got her 15 minutes in the decorating studio, the factory, you know, Andy and her friends. Oh, the way Andy sold out to the Shah was incredible in the 70s, you know. Sad what happened to Andy. And he died on February 22nd. And that was a show.
22 again.
Yeah, and today's March 22nd. All the Jim thinks it's March 23rd.
It's also a full moon today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, usually full moon when Bob's on.
Yeah.
So, I have some amazing stuff, Wayne. I want to see how you respond to this. I do have some pattern recognition tonight.
Okay, and I think the Subgenius tape looks good. So
not there, it'll be over there.
I've got it over here now.
Oh, is it going to go through?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right, what's the time there?
It's coming up on 12:30.
Oh, we got lots of time, Mike. Though, Mike, you are eager to get some of your stuff on tonight.
15 minutes. Let's say 15 minutes, okay?
No,
15 minutes.
Okay, well, the best thing to do then, how about let's play the tape and then leftover time will determine the length of the pattern recognition.
Sure, and keep in mind, you're listening to CKLN, aren't we?
Yeah, 5951478.
And this is the Hour of Slack from Dallas.
This was the end of America, basically, in Beater's tapes. See, the Rockefeller and the Bolsheviks had a secret alliance through most of the 20th century, staged their wars for obvious profit reasons. But the Bolsheviks and the Rockefellers knew the world would get tinier and tinier, tinier as the electric environment imploded and made it a tinier planet. And they knew that they'd have to have it out. It's like musical chairs. I mean, there's enough room in the room of power, the secret council of ten, for the Rockefellers and Bolsheviks to work the world together. But when the laser was discovered in 1960, that got the Bolsheviks and Rockefellers all sparked up, because they knew that with the laser you could get a position on the moon and then you'd be able to dominate the planet from one position. So they secretly got Kennedy to do the moon program as a public relations thing to explain the move to get something on the moon. Now the Bolsheviks who ran Russia knew what the Rockefellers were up to and started their space program just going around the planet. You know, they orbited around the planet. They didn't go towards the moon. They tried a couple times, but mainly the Rockefellers dominated getting on the moon. They closed down the moon program in 72, late 72, and moved it to secretly, this is all according to Dr. Beater, moved it secretly to Diego Garcia Island in the Indian Ocean. And from that point on, they started building a secret moon base to implement and set up this particle beam that... It's the Moonraker scenario in James Bond, in Fleming's novels. Okay, the guy gets up there. He had a disease germ, but the most point is he gets up there in the satellite environment and can control the world from there, just drop poisons or whatever here and there. So the Rockefellers envisioned they had to get on the moon. So they had always had an agreement with the Bolsheviks to have a nuclear war about the end of the 70s, but they called it a program Nuclear War One, where they had certain regions they'd do it, and that would allow them supposedly to turn the world into one world government with the two of them working. But they knew that they'd have it out in the end. So the ace in the sleeve, was that the phrase? Ace in the sleeve?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. The phrase that indicates the trump card the Rockefellers had was a particle beam set up on the moon. That they'd have the nuclear war, and then they'd be able to nail the Russians with their particle beam and then run the whole world by themselves. Also, this was... run the world means to run from position of power as you move out into the solar system. You know, the beginnings of the solar empire, what I call the solar government. So in 1976, the Bolsheviks pushed this detente period, pushed it, and made a few intimidating moves and set up underwater missiles all around the United States.
The feces and the mutilation are part of the occult. The occult is part of the military, and the military is part of the Nazi rituals. Wall Street Journal had a story This morning, many of you saw it on all the papers about Robert McFarlane is going to plead guilty, but don't sit on the edge of your chair and think that he's another John Dean who's going to tell you what is happening. Arthur Lyman, the special prosecutor for the House Intelligence Committee, made it very loud and clear on NBC News this morning that McFarlane will not implicate George Bush. So no matter what he says, it will not bring in George Bush. Lyndon LaRouche is having an interesting twist in his trial. I haven't done anything on that. There have been articles covering it. Mr. Frankenhauser, a man who worked with the Nazi Party and the FBI, was infiltrating and working with LaRouche. LaRouche deserved the pain in the neck he got from Frankenhauser if he trusted a man who worked with the Klan and the Nazi Party. But now, even LaRouche's own attorney is taking another look at their case. And this story just came out today in Boston. It says 2 months into the trial of Lyndon LaRouche comes evidence supporting the political extremist claim that he is the target of plots by the FBI, the CIA, and even Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. His own defense lawyer, who dismissed LaRouche originally for some of his conspiracy theories and thought they were bizarre, is changing his opinion. The trial of LaRouche involves 6 aides and 5 political organizations about fraud and conspiracy and taking money from people who donated to him. And the defense lawyers are saying, we want the files on the White House and Vice President George Bush. That's the man named George Bush. Is named twice in the articles regarding the new turn in these events, and evidence suggesting infiltration of the LaRouche group. The prosecutors insisted the talk of FBI, CIA, and other government infiltration in getting declassified documents is irrelevant. They never say the NSC or the National Security Agency, the NSA. It's always the FBI and CIA, and Iran-Contra was about the NSC and the NSA. But the newspaper reported today that right now the tables are turned on the
yes, dear friends, this is your host, Reverend Ivan Stang. You're listening to the Hour of Slack Radio Ministry. As if you didn't know by now. And you can call for more information. Call 823-7490. Find out just what we're up to here. The last thing you heard was Devo live in Dallas about 2 weeks ago. I may be playing more of that tonight if we have time. Before that was the late May Brussel, talking about the conspiracy. That's why she's late. She died of cancer, a very fast-acting cancer, very suddenly, oddly enough. And the house across her street burned down the day after she died so that the surveillance operations would not be detected. You think I'm kidding? Well, two friends of mine were there at the time, friends, one of whom was Bob Dean, who was talking about the Harvest Moon operation, the space program. he's a Bob imposter, but he's quite serious. Take that as you will, interspersed with all the live in Dallas Devo material, which was, by the way, recorded thanks to Bob Stevens. We had a lot of tape Beatles. The tape Beatles, dear friends. They're a collage band. You know, one of those bands that uses tape decks as an instrument. Sort of like my band. Interspersed with...
Sort of like Stang's band, he says. Okay. So, Mike, bring him up to the Rivoli one night. That's Reverend Stang in Dallas... talking about, now see how he cleverly juxtaposes Mae Brussel talking about John Dean and then implicates Bob Dean and says Bob Dean's an imposter because he's not talking about me. Now I've got other tape where he says, yeah, Bob, you are Bob. But he was under stress that night and he had to sort of pretend that he was still in control. So
that was back in...
That was the middle of November 88, yeah. That show. December.
How was the meeting with Ivan Stang then, as opposed to our last confrontation with him over the phone?
Well, as a result of that meeting, near the end of it, he said, You know, I think you are Bob. I think that you really are Bob, and that I'm going to have to adjust my lifestyle accordingly. Now, that's what he said to me, and we got that on tape. And then, 2 weeks after I leave, he plays this stuff, which shows Stang cannot be trusted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he talks about me as if I'm a Bob imposter, but he does have to keep the scam going for a couple more months until financially he can adjust to the fact that the Secret Council 10 is run by me here out of Toronto.
Bob, our operators have indicated that our space friend is trying to make contact with
the UFO baby, the post axis.
And
yeah.
It might be a nice way to end this week's show.
So. Though I do want to say one.
I hope so.
Put him on. Anyway.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, space boy.
Are we on hold? 7-8. Hello?
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 Speak to me.
Speak to us.
I am not a space baby. I am Eula Swak.
Oh, okay. Phew. No space babies.
But I have some serious discussions.
Oh, this discussion? We have a patient on the line.
Yes,
we're gonna
I have
to
some
go
serious
over.
Discussions that I must conduct with Bob.
Go ahead.
I wish to know if Bob acknowledges pattern-forming recognition.
Oh, pattern recognition, you mean. Or are you changing it? Are you changing church dogma here to pattern-forming?
I'm transmogrifying it to pattern-forming recognition. And basically, I wish to know if Bob acknowledges the reality of morphogenetic fields and formative causation, that being basically the theory that postulates that things happen because of the way things have happened before. It's called formative causation because it's about the kind of causation that is concerned with forms, patterns, and structures, or information, if you like. And it has to do with the way things are ordered and organized. Ordered and organized, that's very important because that's the distinction between the way things are and the energy that goes into them. And not only that, but it's a sort of habitual path of least resistance in nature that transcends both time and space and contains information from all past history. Now, what this means, Bob, is
you're quoting my PhD thesis. Come on, man.
What this means is that when you train rats to learn a new trick in one place in the world, it should be, on average, easier to get rats somewhere else to learn the exact same thing. Not only does that mean that rats can learn things quicker, it means that if there's been wars in the past, it becomes more easier for there to be wars in the future. And similarly, if there's more Bob in the world, it becomes easier for further Bobs to exist.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that leads me straight to the reproduction effect, Bob. Do you acknowledge the reality of the reproduction effect, which states, in effect, if you can concentrate on a given idea or image, it tends to reproduce the nearest equivalent in physical experience. In other words, the kinds of thoughts you dwell on are what determine to a large extent your experience of life.
That's homeopathic.
That you seem to lean towards yourself, Bob.
Yeah, that's homeopathic. That's right. If I energize the Bob situation here at CKLN, it will affect everything because it will recreate much image, much dense image.
Well, Bob, I feel that you and Eula Swak have much in common, and I'm happy about that. I'm very happy.
Well, listen, though, you have brought up a topic I have written on, and if you call Ann Arbor, you know, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor Microfilms, they have my PhD thesis on that topic. I've done many theses, but I do have one on that topic, which I suspect you're quoting from. If not, you're psychic, right?
Perhaps psychically. I'm picking it up through the morphogenetic field.
That's right, through the process we're talking about.
Exactly.
Because it
very well be.
Well, that process is, it's radiating out of the PhD paper there in Chicago.
I think your PhD paper proves itself time and time again just by merely existing and by us merely existing and confirming it without knowing that we're confirming it.
Well, you deserve to be on the air live. You understand what I'm doing. Why don't you come down? Or unless you prefer to remain discarnate via phone, but certainly, geez, contribute some more. We need this. It fills up airtime wonderfully.
Eula Swak, thank you, Bob.
Thank you. And listen to the pattern I'm going to give you as soon as we finish.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin.
All right, we'll end up with... We got to go soon, but
yeah.
I just want to give...
Let's wrap up, Bob, if you can, in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Eulasek. Here's... First of all, let's nip this new trend right now. There's a new trend surfacing right here in Toronto. The O'Hara Empire. We've got to explain rapidly Mary Margaret O'Hara so that we can nip this phenomenon in the bud and move on to other trends, all right? The main point is the power of Margaret's image right now, the power of Her charisma is because she is putting channeling into acoustic space. You'll notice that she talks about singing as if sound is bouncing off her inner self, her inner brain, her ears. Definitely a central nervous extended situation there. She's not schizophrenic, she's not psychotic, she's not ecstatic, she's in trance, and she's turned into acoustic space. So once you see that pattern, then you know Mary's appeal, like this point that Ulasweck just said, the image will die once we name it. You can control something by naming it. So Mary, your career is over. You'll reach new music. We've explained you. So back to the pool hall down there at the Squeeze Club, is it, Mike? The O'Hara Empire. We got to deal with those boys.
I've never been there, actually.
You know, well, we wouldn't go there. We're subgeniuses. But Mary, you're really... What the appeal of your... I don't think she fully understands her appeal, but the appeal is basically that she is singing the gestures and language of someone who's channeling or in trance. That's how she sings.
Gee, I hope she's listening for her
sake. I think she is.
Yeah.
And the final pattern is, I'm going to explain how wealth is defined as crowd in the future. Wealth equals crowd. Crowd equals myth. Myth is resource. And here's some pattern recognition. As a result of the electric conditions we've been living under for 100 years, change is the normal staple we live under, but it first came through in a tinier level by Freud. Freud indicated the changing plastic, we'll call it, the plasticization of the personality. That was the effect of Freud. The effect of Carl Jung was the plasticization, the transforming process, the putting on of masks, the plasticization of mind and psyche. The third phase was Tim Leary, the theology of the plastic sensory apparatus, the plastic senses, the mutating senses. So Freud did the personality, the plasticization of the personality. Jung did the plasticization of the mind and psyche. Leary did the plasticization of the sensory life. And Marsh McLuhan wrapped it up with the plasticization of crowd life, or mythic life itself, or pattern recognition. The plasticization of crowds, which comes back to my point that myth is wealth. And Bob is a crowd, and that's the end of the show, right, Mike?
Bob, thank you.
Great show.
You'll be back in 2 weeks.
Oh, maybe.
Okay.
Thank Wayne for listening.
Yeah, but thank all our guests. Wayne Morris for coming down, and my name is Michael Dyer. I'll be on until 2 o'clock with music, and thanks to our callers especially.
Tonight. Oh, that's
it. It was a great lineup tonight of callers.
Post-Exus.
That's really important.
We want more of that post-Exus boy UFO
the,
guy
the
coming
The callers
in.
Have become an important part of the show, haven't they? They become the fulcrum of the show.
They become
space.
The crowd. Bob is a crowd now. They are helping Bob become a mythic crowd that's changing every minute.
Are you going to be around for a while?
Oh, yeah. I'll take all the calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Money talks. Good night. How much money you take in, money talks. Money talks. Don't have the money. Toward handling money. Money talks. Subject of money awareness. Money talks. Popular myths about money. Clinging to these money myths. Money talks. Explode the money myth. Good money manager. Money talks. Money talks. Money. Money indeed. No money. Money.